Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a clean, weighty jungle kick from a break in Ableton Live 12, then resampling it into a tight one-shot that you can actually arrange like a real drum and bass tool. And that's the key idea here. We're not trying to make some giant, generic kick that sounds huge on its own and falls apart in the track. We're making a kick that punches through fast break patterns, sits properly with a sub-heavy bass line, and stay solid when the arrangement gets busy. That's the DNB reality check. If it works in context, it works. So first, choose a break that already has some useful kick energy. You want a source with a clear transient and enough low mid body to feel weighty, but not so messy that it turns into a blur. Classic jungle breaks, dusty funk breaks, or older live breaks are all fair game. In Ableton, drop the break into an audio track, set warp mode to beats, and try preserve transients or preserve complex depending on the material. Then zoom in and find the kick hits that already feel strong. Now here's a teacher note that matters a lot. Don't obsess over finding a perfect isolated kick right away. In Jungle and DNB, a little mess can actually be part of the character. We're going to extract the useful weight and then clean it up. Next, slice the break so you can audition kick candidates quickly. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Use a slicing preset like Transient or Warp Marker for a quick first pass. That gives you a drum rack with individual hits you can trigger, compare, and swap fast. This is really important because in Break Lab style production, speed matters. You want to test a few kick-heavy slices, find the best one, and maybe duplicate pad if one version has bare low-end body while another has a sharper attack. I like to think in small labels here. Clean. Bite. Dirt, subish. Even if they all come from the same break, separating the roles helps you make better choices later. Before resampling, clean the kick with stock devices. Keep the chain simple and controlled. A good starting point is EQ8, saturator, and then drum bus or glue compressor depending on the vibe. With EQ8, do the basics first. If there's unnecessary rumble, gently high pass below about 20 to 30 Hz. If the kick feels boxy, dip somewhere around 220 to 400 Hz by a couple of dB. And if the attack needs a little more definition, you can try a small boost around 2 to 4 kHz, but only if the source really needs it. Don't force brightness onto a kick that wants to stay dark. Then move to saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try around 2 to 6 dB of drive, with soft clip turned on. That's often enough to thicken the kick and bring the body forward without needing heavy EQ surgery. If you want to use drum bus, keep it subtle. A bit of drive, maybe a little crunch, and be very careful with boom. Boom can be useful, but in a dense DNB mix it's easy to overdo and end up fighting the sub instead of supporting it. The goal before resampling is simple: make the kick sound mostly right now, so the bounced version becomes a usable building block instead of raw source material that still needs a ton of rescue work. Now for the core move. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. This is where the magic happens. Trigger your kick slice or a short kick pattern and record it into that track. Capture one clean hit, maybe a few variations if your source has different velocities, and if you want, record both a dry version and a version with your saturation chain active. Why resample? Because it commits the sound. It gives you a real waveform you can trim, compare, and arrange. And in drum and bass, that commitment matters. It's one of the reasons tracks move fast in professional workflows. You make a decision, bounce it, and move on. Once recorded, trim the clip tightly around the transient. If you get clicks, add a tiny fade in, and don't automatically normalize everything. Often it's better to keep some headroom. In fact, a kick peaking around minus 12 to minus 6 dB before the final arrangement can leave you much more room to build the bass and drums around it. Now treat the resampled kick like an object you can sculpt. If timing is already correct, turn warp off and work directly on the waveform. Zoom in, trim the start just before the transient, shorten the tail if it's overlapping too much with other drum elements, and add a fade at the end if the original break noise is muddy. If the kick still needs shaping, use EQ8 again. A small low shelf around 60 to 100 Hz can help if it needs more foundation, while a cut around 250 to 500 Hz can reduce mud. If the click has become too sharp, notch a little around 3 to 6 kHz. The point is not to make it perfect in solo. The point is to make it behave in the track. A light compressor or glue compressor can also help tighten things up. Keep it subtle. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release around 50 to 150 milliseconds, and aim for only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You want the transient to stay alive. If the kick starts feeling squashed, you've gone too far. If you want a darker, more underground tone, you can add a touch of redux, but be careful, just a little bit of bit reduction or sample rate reduction can add edge and grime. Too much and the kick becomes brittle, which is not what we want in a groove that needs to stay punchy and clear. If the kick still doesn't have enough authority, layer it. This is one of those pro moves that really pays off in DNB. You can add a short sine hit from operator, tuned to the track, with a fast attack and short decay, or you can use a filter duplicate of the kick resample. The idea is not to create a second bass line, it's to give the kick a more convincing bottom end. You can also make a transient layer by high-passing a duplicate around 150 to 250 Hz that keeps the front edge and attack, while the main kick carries the body. This is especially useful when the tempo is fast and the kick needs to read clearly even on smaller speakers. Now let's place this kick in an actual arrangement. This is where the lesson really becomes musical. In a DNB drop, the kick often doesn't need to fire on every beat. Sometimes it works best as a phrase marker, a support hit, or a call and response element against the snare and bass. For example, you might start with filtered intro fragments for the first few bars, bring the kick layer in lightly at the start of a phrase, then let it reinforce key downbeats in the full drop. Later, you can switch to a slightly dirtier or more saturated version for the second section. That kind of phrase-based thinking keeps the arrangement moving without flooding the low end. And that leads to a big coach note. Shorter usually wins at fast tempos. A slightly shorter kick often feels heavier, because it leaves room for the snare and sub to speak. In DNB, space is power. If everything is huge, nothing feels huge. You can use automation to make the kick feel arranged instead of looped. For example, automate saturator drive up a little in the last two bars before a drop, or open the EQ slightly during a fill, or give a pre-drop kick hit a touch of reverb, then cut it dry when the drop lands. Small moves like that create tension and release without cluttering the mix. If you're using the kick as part of a break edit, automation can help you shape energy across 8-bar blocks. A dry section, a dirtier section, and an impact section can go a long way. You don't need constant changes. You just need enough movement that the listener feels the arrangement breathe. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make the kick too sub-heavy. If it's masking the actual bass line, it's doing too much. Second, don't resample before cleaning the source. That just bakes in problems. Third, don't leave too much break bleed in the tail. Muddy tails ruin clarity fast. Fourth, don't overcompress. If the kick loses punch, back off. And fifth, check mono compatibility. The low end should stay solid and centered. If you want to push this further, think in layers instead of one perfect kick. Make a clean version, a dirtier version, and a weightier version. Then swap them between sections. In one part of the track, use the tight and clean hit. In another, bring in the crunchier one. Save your heaviest hit for the biggest moment. That way the track evolves without losing identity. Here's a quick practice move you can do right away. Make three kick versions from one break. Version A is clean and dry. Version B has saturator drive and an EQ cut around 300 Hz. Version C uses drum bus with a subtle clipped feel. Resample all three, place them in an 8-bar loop, and test them against a simple sub or bass note. Then listen in context and decide which one actually wins when the track gets busy. That's the real lesson here. Resample after cleanup. Keep the low end controlled and mono, and arrange the kick to support the groove, not fight the bass. Once you start working this way, a break stops being just a break. It becomes a source for serious jungle kick weapons you can use across intros, drops, switch-ups, and transitions. And that's a massive upgrade in your Ableton Live 12 drum and bass workflow.